You're listening to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Let's dish, baby.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is April 15th, 2008. I am Joanne.
I'm Jennifer.
And Desi is unfortunately not with us tonight. She's under the weather. We hope she gets better very, very soon. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm doing good. Just actually watching the Yankee game.
Oh, good, good. They're winning, right?
Yes, they are winning.
Well, speaking of the Yankees, we have an exciting show tonight. This edition of Stardish is going to be about an up-and-coming actor who has been in movies alongside Bill Pullman, Danny DeVito, Chevy Chase, and many others. And I happen to understand that baseball was actually part of his dream, too. So Stardish Radio would love to welcome actor Hal B. Klein.
Thanks. How's it going, you guys?
Hey,
how
are
you?
I'm fantastic. I'm happy the Yankees are winning.
Well, we thought you'd like that little bit of information.
Yes.
Good news. Good news for sure.
So, Hal, it's wonderful to talk to you. We are very appreciative for you coming on Stardish. What I'm seeing here is that you're originally from Queens, and you moved to California when you were 14. Was that a big transition for you?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Yeah, you know, I came home from, I used to go to Camp Kennebrook up in the Catskills when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And we came home from summer camp, and we were supposed to go to California, and I asked my parents, you know, like, what are we going to do in California for our vacation? And they're like, well, not exactly going to be a vacation. We're moving there. So it was definitely a transition.
But, I mean, as a kid growing up in New York, that's a hard thing, you know, moving from New York to a whole nother, California's like a whole nother world away, especially at the age of 14, no?
Oh, yeah, completely. I was like a total novelty. Like, you can't tell from my accent now, but, you know, I grew up with like a really thick, you know, New York accent. And when we got there, you know, the kids would come up to me and they'd just be like, dude, could you say, like, coffee for me, dude? And I'd just be like, coffee. I just wanted to fit in, you know, make some friends. And they were just having me say things with an accent.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. That's the word. Coffee is the word that everybody...
Don't everybody make you say coffee. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Dollar.
You know, really, my children make me say it all the time because they don't say it the way that I say it, and they tell me how wrong I am for saying it the way I say it.
Oh, no.
You know. But also, you're very accomplished. You studied in San Diego, and then you went back to New York to Broadway, then to London, and now L.A. is permanent, right?
L.A. is permanent, yeah. Permanent for now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love living out here, actually. It's been great. It's been a great move.
Oh, so that's good. And what happened to the baseball dream?
You know, some dreams just go by the wayside. Maybe I'll be lucky like Billy Crystal and, you know, get to play a minor league game one day.
Exactly. That's
see what happens.
Yeah, see, somebody gives you that for your birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
What inspired you to want to act in the first place? Are there any other actors in the family, or was it just something you woke up and decided, hey, I think I'd be good at this?
No, you know, I used to do it, you know, again, Camp Kennebrook in summer camp. We did, you know, every summer they did a little musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought they were really fun to just kind of go in and do the musical and stuff. And then when we moved to California, you know, I didn't obviously know a lot of people when we moved. And then I had a class space open, and I remembered I liked doing that in, you know, Camp Kennebrook. So I decided I was going to go and take a drama class in high school, and that was it. But I got to say, my grandpa Benji was quite a card, though. He was never a professional actor or anything, but, I mean, I remember we'd go visit him in Florida. And he would have the entire like assisted living place, like doing shows for them, doing card tricks with ghosts and stuff. So I think I inherited it through Grandpa Benji somehow.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, you've worked with Bill Pullman, Chevy Chase, Katie Sagal, and Danny DeVito. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. Who would your ultimate dream actor or actress to work with?
You know, it's crazy because I've worked with a lot of them. I've done a couple movies with Alan Rickman, but I haven't been in a scene with him yet.
Okay.
So I'd love to actually, you know, get to be in a scene and, like, you know, work with him, you know?
Right, right.
Like, you know, something like that would just be, you know, that would be a dream. You know, I would go talk on set, you know, go see him and, you know, talk to him a little bit and just be like, wow, I'm totally talking to Alan Rickman right now, you know?
Right, right,
But,
right.
I mean, working in Bottle Shock, I worked with Bill Pullman a lot, and that was just amazing. You know, he's such a fantastic person and such a great guy, and, you know, you can learn a lot from someone like him, so.
Oh, so that's good. So all your experiences are paying off for you in the end. That's really good. Let's see. I'm told that you're a good storyteller. And I hear that you have a lot of good stories to tell about some of these movies that you did. So share a story with us.
Oh, man. Well, I'll share a nice one first, at least.
Okay.
When we were shooting Bottle Shock up in Sonoma, you know, we shot it all on location at these, like, amazing vineyards and wineries, and just, you know, I mean, it's like a picture book, you know? And Chris Pine and I were working, and I think, you know, something that maybe a lot of people don't know about acting and making movies is actors spend probably, you know, 80% of their time actually sitting around waiting for things to happen and maybe 20% working.
Right.
You know, actually shooting the scenes, because, you know, in between each scene, they change the lighting, they change the cameras, they change anything, you know, and it can be, you know, sometimes it can be a really long day, you know, 14-hour days, and you're sitting around. But this one day, it was like sunset, and Chris Pine, who plays Bo in the movie, who's, you know, going to be Captain Kirk soon, shooting Captain Kirk right now. You know, we were sitting on this hill, just like hanging out and chatting, and he just looked, and he's like, dude, our job sucks, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, man, our job totally sucks. And it was just, you know, just one of those amazing times. You just feel so lucky that you're just like, wow, I'm just sitting on this hill in this vineyard, you know, making a movie. Like, what a great thing to do, you know?
Yeah. can think of worse things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then I see here also, I'm gonna jump around a little bit because it's just caught my eye, that you are not a chef, but you love to cook.
Yeah. I'm like crazy about cooking. I actually developed a cooking show in my spare time
We
just finished shooting a little pilot for it. Yeah, it's really cool. It's basically, the point is that I'm not a chef, you know, but I love to cook,
right.
I know a lot of people love to cook too, and they see shows and they don't really, you know, maybe they don't quite get, you know, what's on the show because it's in a restaurant or, you know, it's just a little too much. And so it's basically a show just to, like, show people, you know, like, cooking isn't that hard. I like to use beef stew as an example.
Right, nice.
And that, you know,
meal.
beef stew might take, you know, like, 4 hours to cook. But it actually really takes, you know, 10 minutes to, like, chop everything up and put it in the pot. And then for the next 3 hours and 50 minutes, you know, you can watch a football game or hang out with your friends in the yard or whatever, you know, watch the Yankee game, watch an inning of the Yankee game in 4 hours. You know, so it's not all slaving over a stove and, you know, creative and fun.
Well,
it's not, you know.
Do you have, besides, like, starting with beef stew, is there one particular dish that you really love to cook for your friends and family?
You know, I like cooking a lot of different things. I like making. I have a deep fryer, which I'm probably the only person in LA that actually has one. You know, they're great. So I like, you know, I like showing people that you can deep fry stuff that's not greasy. So I make really good deep fried cream cheese and bacon appetizer, and I also make this dessert where I put Nutella in a wonton skin and sprinkle powdered sugar on it.
Oh, okay.
So everyone likes that.
Oh, okay. So as far as acting goes, what's going on? The Tribeca Film Festival, the movie that's coming out in the Tribeca Film Festival. Why don't you tell us about that?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. It's a movie called Killer Movie that we shot in Minneapolis a little while ago. And just an amazing bunch of people all around. The entire cast is just, like, wonderful and exciting. And so it's basically kind of a skewering of reality TV. Jeff Fisher, the guy who wrote and directed it, used to direct a lot of, like, sort of favorite guilty pleasure reality TV shows.
Right.
You know, like Simple Life, Real World, Road Rules Challenge and stuff. And he ended up in like, the peninsula, the northern peninsula of Michigan on this, like, in this crazy shoot. And it was all in the snow and with these, like, religious fanatical people, and just sort of got inspired with this idea of making a slasher movie out of, like, reality TV, you know?
Right.
So the movie follows this reality TV crew that goes to North Dakota to shoot this high school hockey team. And then, but, you know, they're obviously, they're there really to, like, exploit the people and, you know, stir up some controversy, and then people start disappearing, and, you know, it's what happens when reality becomes reality almost, you know?
Right. Different play on
so,
it, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's a different take, and it's just, it's really fun, because it's great because it's actually turned out to be, like, a really funny movie, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of, like, great comedy, dry comedy in it, but then it's also, you know, I knew what was happening, and I was still scared when they had a screening for us about a month ago. It's like, oh, wow, holy cow, that happened?
Who else stars in this movie with you?
Kaley Cuoco is in it. Paul Wesley, Jason London, Leighton Meester, Nestor Carbonell. And then we have a couple of actual reality TV people. Mary Murphy from So You Think You Can Dance makes her film debut.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
and
J.C.
Chazet from NSYNC is also, you know, is in it for a minute.
Oh, really?
So it's cool.
Omarosa's not in it.
I know. Well, we do have Jen Murphy, who was on The Apprentice.
Yeah, but you could have had Omarosa killed off instead of Brian.
We could have. But we're glad we had Jen, though, because she's awesome, so...
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of The Apprentice.
Yeah. Maybe she'll be in Killer Movie too, though.
That's a good idea.
We'll see.
I have a question from the chat room from Movie Geeks United. He says, "I'd be interested in knowing how crazy the Sundance environment was."
It was pretty insane, actually. It was actually really insane. I went there a couple years ago with a movie called Marilyn Hotchkiss Ballroom Dancing and Charm School. But it was my first movie, so I wasn't really involved in, like, a lot of the stuff, and I thought it was crazy then. And then, you know, a couple years later, I mean, it's, you know, suddenly this picturesque small town in the mountains is, like, invaded by, you know, thousands of people from L.A. and New York. And, it's amazingly fun, and, you know, there are just movie screenings going on from dawn to midnight and just tons of films and then all these, you know, parties and craziness and... you know, like, it's funny, like, on Main Street, they actually rename some of the places there, some of the bars and restaurants. Like, an L.A. club promoter or a New York club promoter will have, like, their night there, so suddenly they'll be, like, Marquee, which is an L.A. club.
Cool.
You know, but it's, and just tons of people, and, you know, I mean, if, you know, if you like seeing celebrities, they're all over the place, and, but great people, you know, great people in the town, and then just tons of amazing movies, and, you know, it's a really exciting experience. I mean, as an actor, you know, to be able to go to the Sundance Film Festival and see yourself in a movie that's there is just so cool.
Right. When is the Tribeca Film Festival?
Tribeca Film Festival, I'm not sure exactly when it starts. I know Killer Movie premieres on April 24th and is going to be there for about a week. I think it runs all through kind of the end of April and the beginning of May.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm not too familiar with how that works, but anybody in New York be able to just go down there and just go see it, or you have to have, like, a special invite to go screen it, or?
No, I think, you know, I think obviously the premiere is probably going to be a hard ticket, but I'm sure there are ways to get them. And then for the rest of it, you know, you can just go online, you know, look up Tribeca Film Festival, and they have all the information on how to get tickets. And the whole purpose of the festival is to, you know, get people down to Lower Manhattan and be able to see all these wonderful movies. So they're definitely open to the public. And we would love, you know, everyone to come out and see Killer Movie for sure.
Right. So
and they have all the screening times
yet?
Of Killer Movie. No, you know, I hope I get to meet him when we're there this time.
That would be a little killer right there.
Yeah, I know. That would make Killer Movie even more killer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How's it going over there, Jen?
It's going pretty good. We got a couple of people in the chat room just chatting it up, seeing I'm asking if anybody has any questions.
Jack and the Beanstalk, when did that come out already, or is that another in the works for you?
It hasn't come out yet. I'm actually not sure what's happening with that. It was fun. You know, I went there. I just did a day on that, this really funny scene with there are three officers, Officer Who, What, and Where.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's mother, played by Katie Segal, comes out, and she's like, my son's up there. And we're like, where? And then I play Officer Ware, and I'm like, here, sir, ha, ha, ha. You know, play on that old who's on first sort of thing.
Right.
So it was so much fun, and just the set on that movie was just amazing, just so colorful and really
Where did
cool.
you shoot that?
We actually shot that in Los Angeles at a studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I mean, but you would think, you know, you would think that you're outside in this old village.
Right.
Because it just looks so great, and you know, like, what a cool thing for kids to be able to see, too, you know, like, live action Jack and the Beanstalk with these great, you know,
yeah,
like, kinds of comedy.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be, definitely. So, let's see, Marilyn Hotchkiss's Ballroom Dancing, tell me about that movie.
So that was the first movie I ever did, and
okay.
It's cool. It's also the first movie I did with Randall Miller, the director, who also directed
okay.
Nobel's Bottle Shock. So it was great to establish this, you know, really cool relationship and grow with him. And it's a really amazing story about this man's journey after losing his wife,
mm-hmm.
and finding his way to this place called Marilyn Hotchkiss Ballroom Dancing and Charm School, which he runs into a guy who's just been on, like, a horrible accident, played by John Goodman, on the road, and he tells the story about his youth, how he, you know, his mom made him go to this charm school, and there are these flashback scenes, and, you know, he makes Robert Carlyle's character promise to go to the charm school, and it's about Robert Carlyle, you know, finding a new life in this wonderful environment and stuff, and it's cool. It's, like, really charming and sweet and funny, and it was out a couple years ago. It wasn't out in the theaters for long enough, unfortunately, because it's such a great movie. But it's, you know, it's on DVD, easy to get.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Actually, I have a funny story about that too.
Oh, go ahead, tell. You tell.
So
story.
I was at Sundance here. I got to go to this house where they would give you, like, a free facial with this new machine, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so this lady is, you know, giving me this facial, and it's all pleasant. She's like, you know, have you been here before? And I said, yeah, you know, I was here a couple of years ago with this movie, Marilyn Hotchkiss Ballroom Dancing and Charm School. And she was just like, shut up. And I was like, what? She's like, shut up. That's my favorite movie ever. I was like,
well,
oh,
really?
She's like, yes, I remember seeing that. And then I bought it on DVD, and I make all my friends watch it, and I love it. And she called her friend. She was so excited. She's like, you're never going to guess. I'm here with this actor who was in Marilyn Hotchkiss Ballroom Dancing and Charm School.
That must make you feel real good, huh?
It was great. I mean, it was just such a wonderful thing, you know, because it's one of those movies that just, when people watch it and get into it, it really affects them. But, you know, unfortunately, due to whatever, didn't make a big enough splash when it came out, but it seems like the longer it's out on DVD, the more people see it and the more people really, you know, feel a lot about it. So it was cool.
Right,
it was great.
Right. Well, we'll definitely post that on our MySpace page that it is available on DVD, so we can print
yeah,
that for you also.
If they buy it, I might get like a penny, so that would be awesome.
Well, you know what they say, there's no penny that we can turn away.
That's right. I just got a residual check for $1.37. I was stoked.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It costs more to print a check for that, I think.
I know. There's actually a bar. There's a bar in Los Angeles that if you get a residual check for lower than the cost of postage, they'd buy you a drink.
That's too funny. What about this other movie here? Squeeze Your Thumbs.
Oh, that was cool. It was a little short I did for they have this thing. They do it all over the country. I did this in New York. It's called the 48-Hour Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, in the course of 48 hours, you write, you cast, write, direct, shoot, edit, and then premiere, like, a 10-minute short film. And
wow.
All you're given is, you know, every film is given, like, a different genre. So ours was a foreign language film. And then there's, like, an item that has to be in it. I think it was a guitar and a line. So in each
mm-hmm.
of the films that's in the festival, they have to be in the specific genre that's given to them, and then they all have to have, like, the item, the guitar, and a line. I forget what the line was. And then you go and do it, and it's just such cool, like, guerrilla filmmaking, you know, and just to see it premiere right away. And it was great, actually, because our lead actress in it, Victoria, my friend Victoria Engelmeyer, is Austrian. So it was cool because
mm-hmm.
it made foreign film a lot easier because she speaks German fluently.
Oh,
and
okay.
Squeeze Your Thumbs Squeeze Your Thumbs is actually in the German language in Austria. It's their sort of way of, you know, cross your fingers instead of cross your fingers,
okay,
it's squeeze your thumbs
okay.
for good luck. And I think I think it's droop die Diamond or something like that is how they say it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So, yeah, it's fun, and I think, you know, things like that are great because, you know, now with digital filmmaking and stuff, you know, filmmakers everywhere can just do these things and go be really creative, and it's cool. It's exciting.
Right, right, right.
So, hey, we have a caller on the line.
We do.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so let's see this. Hey, caller, area code 718. You're on the line with Halby Klein.
Oh, hi, how are you? This is Lola. How are you?
Hi, Lola. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Star Dish and Hal Klein. Am I
hey, Lola.
Correctly? Yes. Were you in Gossip Girl?
No. I'd love to be in Gossip Girl, but I have not. Leighton Meester in Killer Movie is one of the stars.
Oh, okay. All right. And when you first, I won't take up too much time, I was going to say, you've been in acting for a while. It's just now that you're getting your notoriety and your, you know, publicist. You have a publicist because I am an aspiring actress as well. I've done some work. I'm on IMDb. A lot of the work that I do, I'm in New York. You're in L.A., aren't you? You're in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I figured that. People tell me, you know, you should move to L.A., such and such, but we have a lot of independent films here. We have a lot of, like, I know exactly what you're talking about, that 10-minute movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was a big thing. And actually, that came from, remember the green movie or the Green District? What was it? What was his name?
Oh, the Ben Affleck thing?
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah, Project Greenlight.
Yes.
Project Greenlight. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I just remember the green. That's what we gotta remember, you know, the green. But do you have a? Hey, if you don't have any green, you know, headshots are expensive, you know. I did the traditional way back in the day, and when I first started in mailing out my resume to all of these producers and all of these agents, and I saw that I wasn't really getting no response really. So now I noticed that with the internet age, that now I'm getting more, you know, people are like see that you are on IMDb, they can see your picture. I noticed that the internet age has really helped a lot. Do you believe that it has helped the actor a lot? Instead of you just mailing out your resume, they could just look at it and see it. You can email it to them, and they say, oh, okay, well, come on down for an interview. How do you feel about that, the internet age?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, you get to do so much more and put yourself out there so much more. And it's no more the days of, you know, sitting at home, trudging and stuffing these envelopes and mailing them out. Now, you know, you can just meet people and say, hey, you know, like, just go to my website, you know, look at that. You can see my reel right on there. And, you know, I know with my cooking show, you know, we're trying, one, in the traditional way to sort of get it out there, but then I also put it up on YouTube for people to see, too, because it's like, you know, you never know who's going to see it. And it's great because it gives people, because there's so many creative people, and it's so hard to kind of break through that first door, you know?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny how you say that because, you know, it seems as though before it was more competitive. Well, you thought that it was more competitive, but it seems like now it's easier. I don't know why I'm saying that. It doesn't – don't quote me on that. But being that, you know, you can – now that it's so many people want to be an actor. So many people want to be an actor, a singer, or whatever. But the thing is, if you don't have a website, if you don't have something on YouTube, you are smart to have something on YouTube. You have something – you've been doing work. You've been doing independent work as well. I think that sometimes I've done a lot of work that I didn't get paid for. But then again, I've met so many great people. And actually, I'm going somewhere tomorrow, and this is my second question, and I'll make it my last because I can talk for like 500 hours. But no coffee or no stimulant. So that's a scary. It's a scary thing.
It's a New York thing, honey.
It's
that's
a New York
it
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a New York thing.
That's
you know.
True. That's what it is.
But you know, what do you have? You ever gone? Have anybody, one of your agents, ever told you, okay, well, go to such and such place, and they were very vague about the production? They just told you, okay, well, meet such and such at such and such place. Have you noticed that a lot of the times, a lot of the productions are very hush hush, and like you don't know what's going to happen until you get there?
I haven't experienced that too much. I mean, I sort of tend to think, you know, if there aren't a lot of details and it's not, you know, like a J.J. Abrams project or something like that, then it's probably a little bit less than legitimate, you know? Like, I want to know, you know, is the union approved? What's happening, you know, before you go in? Because you don't want to go in without knowing, you know, who's doing it, what you're doing, you know, what the script is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. Well, the Eli Lilly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone says, you know, like, oh, you're going to be, you know, on the season finale of Lost, but we can't tell you anything. You know, that's different because you know what Lost
yeah.
is. You know, it's like this amazing TV show and you know that they're secretive and they're only going to tell you what your lines are. But if it's just like, you know, like, you know, go down to the Bowery and meet this guy and, you know, you know, shoot a movie.
Oh.
We're in a red hat.
Like,
I could do that on my own. I could do that on my own.
Yeah, that would be a little shady, but maybe I don't go down and do that.
But, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, with this project is that, yeah, it is, I do have to meet someone, but it's like a bus or something like that. It's a Japanese film, but I'm going to check up on it and see what's going on. I should have asked more questions. That's what I should have done.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good to know what you're getting into before you get into it.
Sometimes I like to not know. I've been
yeah,
in some, yeah, go ahead.
Hal, I was going to say, wouldn't you say, like just starting out or whatever, you would want to ask as many questions as possible, not just to take every little thing that comes your way, just
yeah.
because, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think
well, yeah,
you,
I
you
don't,
know what you're
yeah.
getting into. Like, I try to say yes to just about everything as long as it's legitimate and safe and, you know.
And no porn.
Union job and whatnot. You know, yeah, no porn.
Oh my
you know,
God.
I mean, if it's
offers.
Within, you know, like, what I want to do. But you never know what's going to happen, you know, I mean. Who knows, you know, like I did a J on Jack and the Beanstalk, but it could be a huge, you know, it could be a huge success. And then suddenly it's like, oh, you were one of the officers from Jack and the Beanstalk, you know. So I think
right.
I think there are, you know, I study with this great teacher named Brian Reese, who, you know, is just really about saying yes and doing things because you just never know what's going to happen. And it's, you
right.
know, what am I going to do on that day that's better than going in and having fun and earning some money, you know?
That's
like,
right.
You
know,
some people are too snotty and like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's just this. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not like that. So
that is exactly what I was thinking, too. You know, and, you know, it's a difference between being selective than being just somebody who just won't go and do something. Because, you know, this old adage is, what have you done for your career today? You know,
yeah.
have you sent out a resume? Now you saw those envelopes with the those scare me a little bit with the open where they could see your picture in the front.
Oh yeah,
you know,
but I mean, going back to what you were talking about before, you don't have to worry about that as much anymore because now there's so much online. I mean, like look at this now, like we're doing a radio show online. You know,
that's of course,
like,
of
that's
course.
So and, awesome! Like how cool, you know, you can do like this radio show that reaches like everybody in the country at the same time now. So
you, yeah,
you know, you don't have to worry
have
about open envelopes. And yeah.
Right. You got one host in New York, you got the guest in California, and you got another host in Florida. And anybody
yeah.
can call from anywhere. So it is an awesome thing.
Oh, you're from New York? Are you from New
I
York?
I am. Well, we all are.
Oh.
All are.
I heard that.
I
New York, Brooklyn. Are you from Brooklyn?
No, I'm not from Brooklyn. I'm from Yonkers.
Yonkers. Oh, okay. All right. You know what?
Yeah,
I could never figure that out. Like, you know, listen to somebody's voice and say, this person's from Queens. That person's from Brooklyn. Oh, it would be, like, so funny when, you know, Robert De Niro does that a lot. He does a lot of movies and like, we're talking about Tribeca Film Festival. I would like to go to that one. Thank you for piquing my interest for that.
Yeah,
but
come down
I'm gonna,
to see a killer movie.
I'm going to look that up. And I want to say
yeah,
thank you for all. Yeah. I'm definitely going to do it. Thank you so much. Let me get off the phone because...
Okay, Lola.
And thank you. And love and kisses to Yonkers, L.A. Anywhere.
There you go.
Even Venus.
You have a great night.
Great chat with you.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Lola.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, she was sweet.
Yeah, she's really nice.
So what, now that we see we have aspiring actors, I mean, you started off small in plays here and there from grade school up. What, like, step by step, like, where, when you decided that this was a profession you wanted to see, you went to college, you got your degree, then where does it come where, okay, now I need an agent, and I got to join the Screen Actors Guild, I got to join this, I got to, you know what I'm saying, step by step by step, because it's a process. It's not just saying, hey, I want to be an actor, and I go out and start doing movies.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think there's this sort of misconception that there's no sort of career ladder and there's no way to go about things because it is a business
right.
that you actually can be walking down the street or having a cup of coffee and the next day be a big star, you know? Like, it can happen, but it doesn't really happen that often. And most of the actors I know and the actors that I admire and hopefully for me, too, are going through the same process of, you know, I went to college, studied, went to New York and was doing, you know, started off doing plays, you know, in 30-seat theaters, you know, in the middle of, like, you know, in the middle of a block and in this tiny little theater. And then, you know, you
right.
kind of gradually, you know, move up to, like, bigger theaters. And then I went to drama school in London for a year
right.
to do a postgraduate degree and got my fancy diploma in classical acting.
Okay.
You know, and then came back to New York and started working in better theaters. And then before I knew it, you know, I was, you know, spending a summer at, like, one of the top summer Shakespeare festivals and doing this crazy holiday review at Foxwoods Casino. And,
oh, okay.
You know, met Randy and did Hotchkiss. And I think, you know, I think it's just about being realistic and letting, you know, working hard and as things happen, you know, just really always keeping in check of where you are and keep trying to move forward.
Right.
And, you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's just about, you know, it's being patient. And, you know, it's a tricky thing to be really patient with yourself and work really hard at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of what actors face, you know, what the caller said, you know, also is rejection. You know, you send out, you know, 60 headshots and resumes to, you know, get an agent and you don't hear back from anyone, you know. Even I remember once I did this mailing and I attached, like, stamped self-addressed postcards and all they had to do was, like, check the box on the back, you know, like, I'm interested, I'm not interested, maybe I'm
right.
interested, keep me up to date, blah, blah, blah. And out of, like, the 40 I sent out, I got, like, 2 postcards back, you know. So
it's
so frustrating. And just letting that slide off your shoulder and go, like, all right, I tried that, I'm doing work, you know, I'm doing plays, I'm doing short films, I'm doing this film festival. And, you know, if you work hard, you know, you make your own luck and you make it happen, you know?
Right. Would you ever do reality TV?
I don't know. You know, it's such a broad sort of category now that if it were...
All right,
well,
you have dance experience, correct? I see you did some dancing. Would you do Dancing with the Stars? So if somebody approached you tomorrow and said, you know, well, we want you...
Yeah, I mean, that would be one of those shows that, you know, is cool and it's fun and it's not, it's about kind of bringing the best out of people.
Right.
Which I like, you know.
Right.
And so something like that would be fun to do, you know.
So then we're safe to say we'll never see you on I Love New York 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, probably not.
Those kind of trash reality shows.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a difference. You know, there are these reality shows that, I mean, you saw during the writer's strike. I think it was almost good in some ways because I think it's going to hopefully filter out a lot of bad reality shows because you see some shows that are just awful
right.
and they just exploit people and they just embarrass
yeah.
people and it's terrible. And then it makes you appreciate something like, you know, like Top Chef on Bravo, you know?
I love Top Chef. Yeah.
It's such
yeah,
a cool
I,
show,
I
you
love
know?
Top Chef. So what about that? They Top Chef, would you ever do something like that? Or for the Food Network? The Food Network has their own also.
Yeah, I would be like a fish out of water on those shows. I mean, it's exactly why I'm actually making my cooking show.
Mm,
is because
yeah.
to be a chef, I have some friends that are chefs, and it's so different than cooking at home. You know, I like to take my time and, you know, just cook for my friends and to have to, like, pound these things out, you know?
Right.
Do that, you know, it's a completely different skill, and I'm in awe of them. You know, one of my good friends is actually just started working as an executive chef at a restaurant in New York, and I'm just like, wow, how do you do that, you know?
Right. What do you think of, while we're still on that topic, Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, see, that's one of those. It's like one of those shows that they clearly, like, when they cast it, didn't really look for, like, the best chefs. You know, they looked for characters and, you know, so Gordon Ramsay can yell. And, I mean, there's entertainment value in it, but really, like, wouldn't you rather, you know, watch something where people can either shine or watch something that's, you know, maybe scripted?
Right.
Tells a great story with, like, really interesting, you know, production and language. It's like, you know, watch Hell's Kitchen and then watch, you know, like the John Adams miniseries on HBO and, you know.
Yeah.
You'll see which one is better.
Yeah, that's, I watched that a couple of times. He's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I've never actually watched the show, but I've seen the commercials and I was like, wow. I guess he's kind of like for cooking, like the Simon Cowell of cooking, I guess. Is it there, you know,
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's that similar, you know, that British, you know. But I think Simon Cowell, you know, like he does say things and you're like, yeah, he's pretty much right on most of the time, you know.
Oh,
it's like blowing up just for, you know, just for the sake of, you know, for sensational value of, like, throwing a plate against a wall and seeing it break, you know? I don't know. So I don't think it's that interesting.
Yeah. Well, what about, I mean, like you said, you wouldn't turn anything down. It's always good to become an actor, to do whatever kind of acting may come your way. It's a paycheck, basically. If it's not exactly what you really, really want to do, would you ever consider doing soap operas?
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, soap operas are, you know, those guys have great jobs. You know, it's one of the few jobs in town that it's an actual job. You know, a lot of stuff in acting is, you know, you're in, you're out, you're doing this. But if you're on a soap opera for like 10 years, like, that's your job. You know, you go in Monday through Friday with set hours and you get like an amazing paycheck. And, you know, the longer you're on it, the more you get paid. So...
I think
a lot of people bash on soap operas because, you know, like the production values aren't as high. But when you think about like how much what they would shoot for an hour soap opera in a day, like in a James Cameron, you know, top level big budget movie would take 6 months. So,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive when you look at it that way.
Right. There's been some talk lately, I guess, coming up around, it's Emmy time, and there have been some, I won't quote anybody or anything like that, but there have been some snipes from more mainstream actors towards soap actors saying that they're pretty much not equals as far as the Emmy categories go. You know what I mean? So in a daytime, as far as daytime Emmys versus primetime Emmys. So... In other words, they say that the daytime Emmys are more of like a lesser class than
somebody that was in
a primetime Emmy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they're just different, you know? I mean, it's really just different categories of acting. I mean, daytime has its own audience that people really love. And, again, you know, you're doing five shows a week or four shows a week, or I think it's five shows a week, yeah? Is it on Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday? So you can't compare something like that you're shooting, you know, in one day, and then you're comparing it to a show that shoots, you know, over a week and a half for one episode or 2 weeks for one episode.
So I
think it's just really, it's unfair to compare, you know, Days of Our Lives to The Sopranos. Because it's different, you know? It's really different.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, who are you to judge, you know, what's the best and what's not, you know?
Right. So, is there anything that you're working on for the immediate future right now?
I mean, right now I've been focused on the cooking show. It's been slow in L.A. because of the writer's strike.
Right.
So things really, like, slowed down for a while. There really isn't, like, a pilot season this year, which is normally, like, you know, normally this time of year it's what's called pilot season, and there are just all these TV shows and people just shoot, like, tons of stuff to show to the networks and stuff. But this year that's not really happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I've been focusing on the TV show and writing a little bit about food.
Oh, okay.
Which is good, pretty exciting. And then just getting, you know, getting geared up for Tribeca.
That's
yep.
good. That's going to be very exciting.
And, you know, I know a lot of the cast is going to be out there, which is really cool. And we just, it's just one of those experiences, you know, where you're all in the same place for like a month in the same hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all stayed, you know, really good friends, cast, director, producers, and, you know, we see each other a lot. So it's going to be, it'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun, you know, fun atmosphere for people to see.
Oh, well, that's good.
Kind of like a city reunion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, have you ever done any commercials?
I did one commercial, like, years ago when I was in New York, and it was for Arena Football.
Okay.
They flew a couple of us out to Pittsburgh to the Mellon Arena, where the Penguins play.
Mm-hmm.
Which was cool because I'm a huge hockey fan. So it was really cool to just go there and be like, wow, so the Penguins play. Like, that's really cool. And, like, the premise of the commercial was Arena Football is so exciting that you can't leave your seats, like, even for a second. And so there was, like, this crowd running out and then running in, and I played the hot dog vendor.
Okay.
And there was a popcorn – oh, no, I played the popcorn vendor. And there was a hot dog vendor and a drinks person. There were three of us. And we basically just had to look, you know, kind of look right, look center – look right, look center, and then they cut in, the crowd running out, and we just looked really bored because nobody was coming to the concession stand. And I just remember,
right,
like, sitting there thinking, like, holy cow, like, they had to fly me out from New York to do this? Like, that's strange. Like, surely someone in Pittsburgh could have done this. But it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great experience. It was the first time I ever got flown to, like, go anywhere and do something. So it was cool. It was fun.
How long did that take to shoot that commercial? Was it, like, a day or is it?
Yeah, I was in Pittsburgh for, like, a day. I barely made my flight back, though, because it, you know, things, you know, they always schedule for, like, so long, but everything runs longer than expected.
Mm-hmm.
And they were racing me to the airport to catch the last flight back, and I was running, and, you know, it was crazy.
Oh, wow.
And I ran onto the plane, and they closed the door, and they were like. So it was fun. It was fun, you know. It was a crazy 24 hours.
I bet. So, do you have your own YouTube channel where people can watch videos?
Yeah, I just put the cooking show up on I think it's HB Klein. Look. That I just put it up like 2 days ago, actually.
Okay.
Weird, because I'm really, like, I love technology, but I'm just getting used to YouTube. But it's cool. It'd be great. Yeah, people should check out the cooking show and write some comments and let me know what they think. Yeah, HBKLEIN.
Okay. We'll put it on our
blog.
Yeah, put it on the blog.
Where did they come up with that word, blog? Really, where did it come from?
I know, it's like I guess it's short for weblog, which is sort of an absurd term in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't
but
know.
But now it's blog, and we've just, you know, it's just a new word.
It's more of like a comment or a diary even. But,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, my online diary.
My online diary. Yeah, exactly, pretty much. It's an open diary. So
yeah.
The only woman in your life is Lucy?
I'm here with my little dog right now. She's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so ironic.
Running around.
I have a cat named Lucy.
Do you? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good name. It's a good name for a dog. My Lucy is actually, I think she's part cat. She's an Italian greyhound, which you don't see a lot of Italian greyhounds on the East Coast. They're like an amazing, amazing breed of dog. They're just really cool. They're like greyhounds, like shrunken down and with tons of personality. And she's really sweet and adorable, but she's like very like independent, like a cat, and her like two best friends are both cats.
Okay.
It's,
that's
yeah,
funny because I have a cat that's like a dog.
Yeah.
My cat is just like a dog. You'll hear my son come in and he'll hear that like bottom door open and he runs and he sits to the top of those stairs and waits for him to come in. He comes in, he follows him to the room, sits outside the bathroom door, starts meowing. It's hysterical. He's like a cat dog.
Cool. So funny, yeah.
Wasn't that a cartoon? Cat dog?
Cat dog.
That was a cartoon. That was a cartoon on Nickelodeon,
yeah,
I think.
It was a cartoon, cat dog, yeah.
Yeah, cat dog.
I think it was on like Cartoon Network. Or something like that. That's sad that I know that, but it's true.
Hey, I knew that too, so that's it.
To make a cartoon about my cat dog.
You should. Are you interested in writing at all?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I wish I could write scripts better. I mean, I'm good at writing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like writing scripts and stuff, like it's just something that I haven't really had a lot of experience with.
Right.
So, but it would be fun. I'd love to like collaborate with people on something, you know.
Right.
And like write a really good, you know, write some stuff. But you know, it's crazy because I have friends that are writers, and you know, when you see them write, you're like, how do you come up with this, you know? I mean, even the scripts of the movies, you know, that we've done, you know.
Right. They say
like, wow,
there's a story every day somewhere in your life, but it's just all a matter of putting it down on words. I mean,
anybody
can write a book if you were able to sit there and actually write, you know. I mean, I know my life could be a book. Your life could probably, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's life could be a book. It's all a matter of getting somebody to do it, because I know I could never do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a really special skill.
I think, like, people could tell a story, but to actually have it, you know, to actually type it out or put it down on paper is... Because you want to convey your message clearly and, you know, give somebody, like, an experience, like, you know, oh, wow, I feel like I was there on paper,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's harder to do than if you're telling somebody, because you could use emotion in your voice and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty hard to be, you know, logical and creative at the same time. You know, and that's what you have to be as a writer. I actually just read, I don't know if you've read Cormac McCarthy's The Road. I just finished reading it. It's an amazing book that won the Pulitzer Prize, and it's basically just a father and a son through, like, the entire, like, 285-page book. There are, like, a couple of other characters that come in for, like, a second, and it's just, like, how do you, you know, like, it just amazes me how someone could think to, like, write a story like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, piece it out, and it's like, wow, like, that's just, it's so impressive to me.
Right. So that's good. Now, are your parents in California, or are they still in New York?
No, they're up in Northern California, which is where we moved. And, yeah, they're up there now, probably, hopefully listening, but probably watching the Sharks game, probably watching the hockey game right now.
Oh, you need to be listening to Hal.
I know. I wonder if they're listening live right now. It'd be good if they are. They were like, well, it's a big game, though. I said, hey.
Well, you know,
I'm recording the first hour of the game. I'm going to record the game, so you should too, Mom and Dad. It's like our family bond hockey. You know, like we just all love the hockey. My brother's actually on his way over to my place. My brother lives in LA too, and he's on his way over now, and we're going to watch the game together after this. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my
speaking of the game.
Too.
Oh.
What's that?
Speaking of the game, the Yankees did win. 5-3.
That's very exciting. I'm glad of this because it was a little bit rough over the weekend.
Mhm. Yes.
It wasn't so good against the Red Sox the last two games.
They actually played Boston again tomorrow night.
I know. Yikes. Hopefully things will go better in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm excited. I'm going to go sometime before the end of the season. I'm going to go to a game at Yankee Stadium, you know, for the last year.
Yeah.
Got to go there once,
When do they expect to open up that new one?
I think
I'm
it's
exactly
next
sure.
season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because
this is the last year. Yeah.
I just think that's pretty ironic that they're closing down the old one. The next one, the new one, is being built, like, literally right next
across
to it.
Across the street. Yeah.
Pretty much. I was like,
why
is that? But
they should have built it on top of some of the houses over there.
Yeah, really.
I know. I remember a couple of years ago, they were trying to get the stadium, you know, on 34th Street, down by the Hudson River. for, like, the Yankees or the Jets or something to play at, and I was like, that would be cool. Like, I like, you know, stadiums right in the heart of the city, but I don't know, but there's something cool about, you know, I lived in New York, you know, for a long time after college, and there's something cool about getting on the subway and, you know, taking it up to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, because it's really close to my house, Yankee Stadium, so, because I live in the Bronx, so.
Super convenient.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, because actually, we live in a building, my grandmother lives on the 11th floor, and if we actually go up to her building when they do the fireworks over by Yankee Stadium and stuff, you can actually see it from her terrace.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, I grew up in a house full of Mets fans, so, I mean, I don't, look, one way or the other, to me, it's a New York team, it's a New York team. I never played favorites. It is what it is. They were all Rangers fans, and the only place they really differed was football.
Interesting.
None of them liked New York. They liked either the Steelers or Dallas.
Well, at least they supported New York teams and the other things. But, yeah, sports are – it's funny like that. You know, you kind of – you catch on to a team somehow and they become your team. And that was actually my first act of rebellion. My dad is a Mets fan.
Oh, is he?
That was my first act of rebellion as a kid. I decided to be a Yankee fan instead.
Well, you know what? It is what it is.
That's it. But, you know, but I followed – I was a Yankee fan through the good times and the bad times, so –
Yes.
That's true. And you know, Desiree, our co-host, she's not with us tonight, but she says that very well, that if you're going to be with a team, support them no matter what. So, like, because she's a big Dolphins fan, and the Dolphins just totally blew it this year. And it was either love them all the way or don't love them at all. You know, who cares if they lost? You know, you still stand by your team. And she did that really – she said that really well.
She's actually in the chat room. She said, I love them still.
Oh, you go, girl. And we miss you and hope you feel better.
Yeah, her voice is going –
she feels better, too.
Oh, yeah.
Her
tongue.
Yeah, Desiree has a very distinct giggle. We call her the giggler. She's nicknamed that from one of her friends. And you would have died laughing if you would have heard her. So you'll have to come back on just to hear her giggle.
Absolutely. I'm sad I don't get to hear it now.
Hey, we actually have another caller. So area code 925.
Yes, hello. This is Mom.
You are listening.
Of course I'm listening to this instead of watching the Suns game.
Hi, Mom.
How are you all?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Talking with your wonderful son.
Turn down the thing in the background, Mom.
Somebody needs to turn down their radio or something.
Mom is not good at technology, so it took me a few minutes.
All right, well, you got to turn it down a little bit.
There you go.
Now we can hear you.
That's awesome.
So I'm very impressed with the conversation so far, and of course I'd be calling in.
Thanks, Mom.
Mom thinks that she has a very talented son, so in full support of everything he does.
Excellent. Well, you'll be happy to know your other son's on his way over too, and we're gonna be hanging out.
That's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Excellent. My mom and dad just went up to Wine Country over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, we're about an hour away from Wine Country.
Oh, that's nice. So,
yeah,
I
fun shooting a bottle
shot. Say that you like better there than New York.
You know, it was a big transition at first, but we love California now.
That's good. Jen, my co-host, actually loves California. She's from New York also, and she loves traveling to California. And Desiree, our other co-host, she's actually lives in Riverside. So
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Of course, we do have to get back for a New York Fix every now and then.
Yeah, you gotta go back for the pizza.
You know, isn't it the damnedest thing? It's really true. You really can't get New York pizza anywhere. I don't care if it's in New York on the sign or not. It's not the same.
Yeah, no, I freeze. I get, like, extra pizza and bagels and freeze them and bring them back and put them in my freezer. And I'm excited to go for Tribeca because I just ate the last bagel last week.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, there you go. Yeah, bagels, too.
Nothing like the Big Apple. Well, I'm not going to stay on, and I'll let you free you up to talk to other callers and go on with the interview, but just wanted to say we do listen.
All right,
Mom. Bye, Mom. Love you.
Bye, Mom.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Hey, we actually have about 4 minutes left in the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. That's a fast hour.
That went by fast.
Yeah, it was fast. Yeah, really. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
It does.
Exactly.
It does. And how, I'll tell you right now, you've been some pleasure to talk to. And I really hope that you'll come back on after the film festival and when you're starting new projects and let us know how your cooking show is going and all that, because we'd love to promote you as much as possible.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Yes. So we would like to ask you, though, if you would do a little promo for us. So, you know, this is Hal B. Klein with Joanne Jen and Desiree on Star Dish Radio, that kind of thing. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, fire away. You're all set.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Hey, you guys, this is Hal B. Klein, and you're listening to Joanne, Jen, and Desiree on Star Dish Radio.
Yeah, we got the good guy there.
Nice.
We love it. Well, Hal, I have to say again, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been a true treasure, and you must stay in touch with us and let us know how everything is going. We'll put a link up on our page for your YouTube page, and anything else you want us to post, send it on over. That's what email's for
Sounds
now,
great.
And we'll gladly do it.
Cool. Thanks, you guys. This was so much fun.
All right, Hal. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. See you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy.
He really is. That was a lot of fun.
It was. It really was. I'm glad
like
that he called in.
Sorry. Hi, guys.
Oh. Hi, Desi.
How are you?
How are you feeling?
Like crap.
Aww.
Oh, well,
but,
you know what?
Whatever.
I feel your pain, sweetheart. I'm on the other end feeling the same exact way. I'm going to spend my day in bed tomorrow pumping these antibiotics.
Yeah, I have to go to work, so, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, jeez. Well, we want
you
to feel...
We have a remaining 2 minutes. Coming up on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
We have a very exciting show we're excited about. General Hospital's Kent King and Manai Noji.
Love
Yay.
It.
So that starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're very excited to have them on the show.
Yes, and they'll be discussing their... Girls Night Out event coming up in July, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for that. Me and Desiree are going to go to that one.
Oh, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the new season of General Hospital Night Shift.
Yes.
Yes, which starts in the summer, I believe.
Yeah.
Right.
In July. Does it start starts in July, I think?
I believe it starts in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be really good. So we'll have that big show, and... we also have, tentatively, April 24th, Jennifer Behrens coming on also.
Yay.
Yeah, we can't wait for Jennifer to come on.
I know.
Yeah, so, and as always, it's 10 o'clock, and
yeah,
we hope everybody logs in and calls.
Yes, we have, and then don't forget, on May 1st, we have Eden Regal.
That's another big show, and she's promoting her YouTube series. Called Imaginary Bitches. So can't wait to see that. That debuts May 2nd. And all this information will be on our blogs on MySpace so everybody can check it out for themselves.
Awesome.
Right.
You guys did a great job tonight. I was really proud of you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Desiree. We just really hope you get better and you'll definitely be with us on Thursday.
Yeah, yes. Believe me, I might be dying on Thursday, but I'll be there. Okay.
Oh, I'm poor Desi.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
All right, so thank you, ladies. It was a great interview. So I guess we'll see everybody on Thursday.
Okay.
All right, everybody, have a good night. Thanks for listening to Stardish.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Blog Talk Radio.